The Random Jottings of Hinge and Brackett with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With friends and neighbours at Stacton Trestle, Daphne Hurd, David Griffin and Anthony Sharp. The Stacton Faggot.
The seasons come and go in Stacton Trestle, much as they do in any English village. Autumn comes and brings the harvest festival and all that nastiness over who's got the biggest cucumber. Winter brings the Christmas festivities with its gay carolers, the panto in the co-op hall and all that bickering about who's going to decorate the church. Spring brings mummers to the village green and an Easter passion play larded with rather coarse gestures that were apparently in everyday use here in the Middle Ages, and which appears still to be perfectly understood by a surprisingly large proportion of the local population. And then comes summer with its plethora of fetes and garden parties, and that much-looked-forward-to opportunity to pay 10 pence to throw wet sponges at the vicar. It's the only truly successful method he's yet devised for raising money for the church. But in between times, too, we have our little excitements. We had one a week or so ago. It all began a day or two after we had inherited the music emporium. It was a Thursday morning. Evadne was out at a council meeting and Major Dirrenforth arrived seeking our help.
You see, Dame Hilda, we've got a bit of a problem with the old cricket pavilion.
Yes, so I'd heard, Major. But surely, all you need do is hang a curtain over the shower room window and remove the orange box that the girls stand on.
No. We've solved that one. We're letting the nettles grow back. No matter what the cost in balls. Now, alas, we've another bigger problem.
Why? Sorry, and what might that be?
Well, not to put too fine a point on it, the whole place is falling down.
Well, it's hardly surprising, really, I suppose. It is almost 100 years old, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. It seems we shall need something of the order of £1,500 to restore the place to its former glory.
Really?
And so we thought we should hold an event of some kind, something special, something different.
Yes.
On the green.
Yes.
To raise whatever we can.
Yes.
And it was suggested that I approach you, dear ladies, for ideas. You have acquired a certain reputation, you see.
Oh, Major. I do hope not. The front door. That'll be Evadne now. Evadne!
Yes, sir. I'm back.
Mind you don't bump into Mrs. Dale's heart, dear. But you can't tell her, you know.
Hilda, you really are going to have to move that harp out of the hall. It's terribly in the way out there.
But I like to run my fingers over it as I come down the stairs, dear.
Mm. Well, I am sick and tired of running my shins over it every time I try to get to the hall stand.
Oh, don't keep harping on it, you
know. Good harping.
Yes.
Hey, good morning, Major. Sorry, didn't see you.
Good morning.
Evadne, we're trying to think of something unusual that the Major could do on the village green to make money.
How very bizarre of you.
He needs money for his pavilion. It's falling down.
I'm looking for an unusual fundraising event, you see, to take place on the green.
And now, there's a coincidence. You know, while I was at the council meeting this morning, I was looking at that old faggot at the town hall.
Oh, and how is the Lady Mayoress?
Preposterous. Do you know what she wore to the meeting today? An organdy skirt, a striped blazer, and a yachting cap. She looked like an ocean-going fairy.
Oh, dear, she's such a clever woman, but she simply cannot wear clothes. You know, she's the only person I know who can put on a beaver hat and actually look like a beaver.
That's her teeth, dear. Log-tearing teeth, if ever I saw them.
Oh, whatever will the Major think of us, tearing the poor woman to pieces like this?
No, it's most interesting, really. Lorna can't abide her. Not a woman's woman, I suppose. But, you know, I must confess, I've always thought she was rather attractive.
Ah, well, Major, chacun a son goût.
Well, right. but I've never been especially drawn to beavers. Though I must admit I was very smitten with a toothy girl at Oxford. She used to walk around with her nose in Evelyn Waugh.
That can't have done her teeth much good.
Nor any other part of her, dear countess.
Good heavens, at the time. I really must be going, or I shall never get my gherkins. I was looking for a wild duck, but I couldn't find one.
No, they keep themselves very much to themselves.
I think it's the time of year, Hilda.
Well, if you have an inspiration, give me a tinkle. No, no, don't get up, Dame Hilda. I can see myself out. Goodbye, ladies.
Bye-bye, dear.
Goodbye, Major Durrenforth.
Poor Major. Lorna's always sending him out for gherkins. What does she do with them all, I wonder?
You know her, Hilda. She's a culinary titivator. All gherkin fans and radish roses, never enough to eat.
You know, we really must try and think of something for the Major, Evadne. We've got a bit of a reputation, you know.
I'm not surprised the way you flutter your eyelashes at him there. Anyway, I've already had an idea.
You have? Well, why didn't you say so before I left?
Well, I was trying to, dear, when you interrupted me to be so very rude about the Lady Mayoress.
I was not the only one being rude about the Lady Mayoress. You were far ruder than I was.
Me?
Yes, I was only rude about her beaver's hat. You were rude about her beaver's teeth. And whatever we may think of her, she can't help her teeth. After all, nature gave them to her. Mind you, nature can be terribly unfair at times.
Hilda, can we leave the Lady Mayoress alone?
Believe me, dear, there's nothing I'd like better.
Right. Now, the faggot I was referring to was the Stacton faggot. You know, that one in the glass case at the top of the main staircase.
Oh, that faggot.
Hmm.
Oh, yes, that old bit of charred wood. Isn't somebody supposed to have snatched that from the bonfire when they burned the Stacton witches in 1600 and something?
1645, dear. Matthew Hopkins, the witch-finder general, flushed out 6 witches and a wizard, and they burned them on the green. I was thinking, you know, it might be interesting to reenact it. So why not do it in aid of the cricket pavilion?
Wouldn't that be a little macabre?
Well,
it doesn't really have much to do with cricket, dear. I mean, witch-burning wasn't a sport, was it? Well, not in our sense of the word.
No, it's part of Stacton's history, Hilda. Do you know, they were burned on the very spot where the cricket pavilion now stands. Or should one say, falls.
You know, some of Maud's people were burned at the stake.
Yes, but not nearly enough of them.
Well, you must have heard her tell of her ancestor, Goody Bullet. She was burned.
Perhaps we could burn Maud.
I don't know why it happened, but you always come back from your council meetings red in tooth and claw.
Well, anyway, I think it's the most exciting idea. It could be like the finale of Götterdämmerung without any interference from the fire officer. Imagine, real flames.
Yes, I suppose it could be quite nice. But, of course, its success would depend to a very large extent on who you got to play your principal with.
I see a towering bonfire.
Oh, I mean, who would play your principal witch?
No, there'd be no principal witch, children. No, all the witches would be equal. Being burned at the stake was a great leveller, you know. What I see is a towering bonfire about to be lit. I see the village green thronged with peasants.
Peasants, dear?
Yes, everyone will come as peasants, Hilda. It's so much cheaper. I think it means they can all dress in Hessian, and surely everyone must be able to rustle up a pair of sandals and a length of rope.
Evadne, they burned them, dear. They didn't hang them.
To tie round their waists, Hilda, to hang their belongings on. Oh, yes, I definitely see everyone in Hessian.
Even the witches, dear?
Well, of course. The witches were simple country folk.
Well, I'm not going as a peasant, and that's flat.
Hilda, I see this as a sort of Ingmar Bergman epic.
Well, I don't, dear. Now, I see it as a sort of Gaiety Theatre burlesque.
Please yourself. If you want to look utterly ridiculous, I don't mind. Who ever heard of anyone being burned at the stake in a picture hat, pearls, and a flowered frock?
Quite honestly, then, I do think that on these occasions, one should be prepared to sacrifice a degree of historical similitude for a bit of glamour and fun. People want to dress up, dear, not down. No, dear, it's so silly. And what's more, it's silly in the wrong way. I mean, no one minds being silly. Oh, now, what's that song, Evadne?
Which song?
I'm such a silly when the moon comes. That's the sort of feeling. Ah, Miss Gibbs, yes. Now, where is it? Now, I'm sure it's here somewhere. We could sing it on the night, dear.
It's hardly appropriate to being burned at the stake, Hilda, is it?
Well, it doesn't matter, Evadne. It's glamorous and it's fun. Ah, here it is. Now, do take that look off your face, dear, and come over to the piano. I'm sure we'll all enjoy the evening so much better if it's Lessing, Mar Bergman, and Mar Gertie Miller. I bet when they burned real witches, they all had a lovely time. Well, come on, dear, play. Do see if you can manage a smile in that way. What are you doing there? You seem like a fairy dream up in the midnight air. When I look at you, I always know you will trap me with your silver bow. But as soon as the sun's in bed, well, it's then I get a funny sort of feeling in my head. I'm such a silly when the moon comes on. I hardly seem to know what I'm about. Skipping, hopping, never, never stopping. I can't keep still, although I try. I'm on the quiver when the moon fades glance. That is the moment when I long to dance. I can never close a sleepy eye when the moon comes creeping up the sky. Moon, moon, aggravating moon. Why do you treat me so? I think you're inclined to wink. That isn't right, you know. Every day I'll be as good as gold, doing everything that I've been told. But as soon as the sun's in bed, well, it's then I get this funny sort of feeling in my head. I'm so silly when the moon comes on. My heart is seem to know what I'm about. Skipping, hopping, never, never stopping. I can't keep still, although I try. I'm all the quiver when the moon seems lost. That is the moment when I long to dance. I can never close a sleepy eye when the moon comes creeping up the sky. So there you are.
Oh, Dame Hilda, I'm so sorry about the coffee.
But we haven't had any coffee, Maud.
Well, that's what I'm sorry about. You see, I plugged in the percolator into the cooker switch as usual, and it broke.
What, the switch did, Maud?
Yes, the switch did, Doctor. Then the percolator did.
How did it do that, dear?
Well, I tripped over the flex, Nick.
No, that flex is terribly short. I failed to see how it could get on the floor for you to trip over.
It didn't get on the floor, Doctor. I got on the table.
Well, don't worry, Maud. We'll have a cup of tea later.
That's just what I thought, Dame Hilda. I'm popping out now to buy a new pot. That was on the table and all. And my foot caught it.
Maud, why were you standing on the table in the first place?
Well, I was trying to mend the light, that's why.
You should have got the stepladder, dear.
I had the stepladder. That's how the light got broken. And the panel in the larder door. Great heavy things. You can't swing them without hitting something. When I stepped on the steps to get at the light, the steps broke. So I stepped on the table and stopped there.
And the rest we know.
Well, at least we've had near the tables, all right.
Now, there. I've got a confession to make.
Maud, how
is it that the only thing in this entire house that appears to be safe from you is that harp that's stuck right in the middle of the hall?
But that's not in anybody's way, is it?
Thank you, Maud, dear. Now, Maud, while you're here, it rather looks as if the doctor and I have let ourselves in for a little organizing, or at a bit of a do on the village green. And we shall need catering.
Well, Dame Hilda, of course. You know I'd be only too pleased.
I was wondering about that woman who does it now up in the village hall, Hilda.
Oh, do you mean Mrs. Mellinger, dear?
Is that her name? I don't know. The tall, trim, red-headed woman with trouser suits and a dachshund. She always looks so competent. Sensible shoes and all that.
Oh, yes, yes, Mrs. Mellinger. Lives in Holly Tree Cottage now. Oh, dear. Now, you've been to some of those village hall do's of Mrs. Mellinger's, haven't you? What's she like?
Well, she's all very well in her way, I suppose. But she's a little bit fancy-like.
Gives you knives and forks, I suppose.
Well, of course she does, Doctor. She's called in blue. Does everything very posh. Low lights and all. At the Halloween supper, the lights was lower than we had them in the war. We could hardly see to put our candles in our turnips. Mind, it looked lovely. What you could see on it. Everything was green. Green tablecloths, green serviettes, green crockery. Poor Mrs. Parsons spent half the evening ferreting about on the table trying to find her peas.
Her eyes aren't what they were, really.
And they were never up to much.
Do you know, Dame Hilda, we had salad with hot. Old Mr. Nichols said he wished he'd took his rabbit.
Well, it would probably have been better company for him than his wife.
Is it true that she makes that poor man drink his homemade beer in the garage?
She makes him do absolutely everything in the garage.
Inconvenient.
Now, what are we going to do about the catering, dear? Are we having this woman or are we not?
Well, I think perhaps we ought to give her a try, Abney, don't you? Mm. After all, the low lights won't bother us. We'll have the bonfire.
Yes, and apparently, she has a way with the butcher, which means she can get the meat cheap.
Oh. It's been said she has a good deal more than a way with him. Top side at 70p. And all the brisket she can carry. Disgusting.
I've never heard that.
You don't hear everything, Hilda.
Is this due for Guy Fawkes Night?
No, Maud, it's not.
Of course, if it's a secret, Doctor.
It's not a secret, Maud. It's a pageant.
How would you like to play a witch?
Which and that what?
Not at anything, dear. You'll be dressed as a peasant and taken to the village green on a muck cart.
A tumbril, Hilda.
Well, whatever we can get. And you'd then be tied to a stake in front of the bonfire and sort of burnt. Just like Goody Bullet.
Well, it don't sound like much of a night out.
Precisely.
Anyway, seeing as that I had a real witch for an ancestor, when most people round here can't even claim a nodding acquaintance with a gnome, I think I should be permitted to do something a little more important than just be burned at the stake.
Well, what had you in mind, then?
I'd like to light the bonfire.
Very well, if that's what you want.
Maud with matches. I don't like it, Hilda.
Well, she can hardly do any harm, dear. After all, we want it to go up in flames. And so, Evadne, with that ruthless determination that had always given her such a rapport with Wagner, set about organizing her witch's pageant. I just sat silently back and watched her, happy in the knowledge that sooner or later she'd come unstuck. Sure enough, she did. Well, I mean, nobody wanted to spend an entire evening dressed in Hessian, not even on the promise of being burned at the stake and as much black-toed venom punch as they could drink. So we compromised. We settled for just a jolly night on the green with a bonfire, food and drink. Well, the night turned out to be beautiful and warm and just as I'd expected it would be. There's Tom. Tom, dear, over here.
Ah, evening, Doc. Evening, Dame.
Hello, Tom.
I must say, Tom, you've done a magnificent job with the bonfire. It'll look absolutely lovely when it's lit.
Well, it's all right now, Doc. But getting it together has been a bit, on and off.
On and off, Tom, no.
Yeah, Dame. For everybody who put something on, there was somebody who took something off.
Really? But it's just a load of old wood and combustible junk.
Nevertheless, you chuck something out, and the doctor wants it. She chucks something out, you want it. Very human nature, eh?
I've never wanted anything she's chucked out, Tom. Tell me, Tom, dear, have you any idea how that woman from the village hall is coping in the refreshment marquee?
Well, she was in a bit of a flat, Dame. It seems the butcher didn't quite come up to expectations.
Really?
Well, it's a lot smaller than she thought.
What do you mean, Tom?
Well, the ox. For the ox roast.
Yeah.
Don't look like an ox, you see. Too small. She's been sold a pup, if you ask me. The major's wife's been dragged in to help.
Oh, how splendid.
Well, I'm not so sure. All she's done so far is make 150 cucumber crocodiles.
It's amazing what that woman can do with a cucumber.
I say, Tom, there's a gang of village brats poking around with your bonfire, dear.
They're not brats, Evadne. They're village children, and they've come to join in the communal fun.
Nonsense, Hilda. They're brats, and they're poking about with this bonfire. Go and chase them off, Tom, will you?
Hey, you lot, get out of it. You just wait till I get my hands on you.
Makes a good host, doesn't it? Oh, there's Maud by the bonfire now, dear. Let's go across.
Good God, what does she look like? She shouldn't dress like that, especially for lighting a bonfire. Someone might pick her up and chuck her on it.
Hello, Maud.
Oh, good evening, Dame Hilda. Doctor, I say, that hot punch is ever so nice. You can feel it going down. And you don't half make your toes tingle.
Yes, Maud, but I think you're supposed to use one of those little glasses over there for it, dear. The pint tankards are for the...
I paid me money, Dame Hilda, and I took me choice. Now, when do I do it?
Not yet, Maud, no, we'll tell you.
Are you sure I'd be able to light that great big bonfire with one of these little matches?
Oh, no, no, you'll have a flaming brand, dear.
Then why am I walking around holding these flaming matches?
You'll need those, Maud, to light the flaming brand.
Sounds if I'm going to have a right flaming evening.
Oh, there you are, ladies. I think we're ready for the off, aren't we?
Well, let's get it over with.
Go on then, Mark. Lighting up time. It's your big moment. You know, she's never lit anything bigger than a Christmas pudding till now.
And now my knees is tingling too.
With a pipes of punch, dear.
It seems such a shame to set fire to that lovely pile after so much work's gone into it.
All in a good cause, Maud. Right, everybody, gather round. The bonfire is about to be lit. Now, Tom, hold the fan burn so that your mother can light it.
Stand back, Hilda. We don't want you hurt, do we?
It can't explode or anything, can it?
No, no. Paraffin soap rag on a pearl, that's all. Perfectly harmless in the right hand. Now, Maud, the matches.
Well, here goes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Maud Pitt will now light a celebratory bonfire.
But what do I do?
Throw it, Maud.
That, no, not at us, but the bloody bonfire.
Oh, for heaven's sake, hold her, Major. Aim her. You were a gunner, weren't you?
Right, dear. Now, when I say throw, throw. Throw!
Oh.
Oh, I say, isn't it beautiful, Hilda? I say, Hilda.
What, dear?
Isn't that flame on the corner of the cricket pavilion roof?
Oh, Major, look, the pavilion roof, look,
dear. Good God. It's all right. They should be able to see us from the fire station.
Hey, fire, fire.
No good, Tom. They're all at the window waving, thinking you're showing off the bonfire. You better run across.
Right, Major.
Fire, fire, fire.
I say, Emilda.
What more, dear?
Did I do that all right?
No, Hilda. I was right in the first place. We should have burned her.
That was The Stacton Faggot, a further extract from the random jottings of Hinton Brackett. As usual, we welcome Daphne Hurd, David Griffin, and Anthony Sharp. Our thanks also to the members of the Stacton Trestle Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. The script was by Gerald Frau and production by John Dyes.